In this episode, we are speaking with Ian Mackay, founder and executive director of Ian's Ride. Today, we will learn all about Ian and his efforts to promote outdoor accessibility, further the availability of accessible technology, and encourage support services for those with mobility impairment. I'm your host, Tara Gundrum. As a United States Marine Corps veteran, author, and Christ follower, I've had the great privilege of meeting so many people who are living a life of influence, affecting positive change, and making a difference in their lives and the lives of the people around them. These are the incredible stories of real people. And this is the Possible Project Podcast.
My name is Ian Mackay. I live in Port Angeles, Washington, pretty much as close as you can get to the northwest tip of the continental U.S. I guess what's fairly unique about me is I'm paralyzed from the neck down. So in 2008, I was riding my bicycle home from college at UC Santa Cruz, going a little fast, and I hit some sand, lost control, and went headfirst into a tree, and I broke my neck. Spent the next 3 months in a rehab hospital kind of learning how to live as a paralyzed man. I was on a ventilator at the time and continued to be for the next year, and I was 26 years old, and as you can imagine, you have so many plans and expectations for what your life is going to turn out. And, all those goals just can seem to have stopped in a second when I kind of lost my body. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I move forward from this? And it took a long time, years. I couldn't go back to living with roommates at college. So I followed my family who was living here in Port Angeles, Washington. And those first few years were just probably me watching a lot of, Andy Griffith Show and any daytime television I could find or playing computer games. But it really wasn't me. And I had a really hard time kind of finding what a path forward looked like. And interestingly, it was a path that set me straight and kind of where I found my solace. I live probably a third of a mile from the Olympic Discovery Trail, which is the westernmost section of the Great American Rail Trail. And I started going out there, and I got off the ventilator at that point, and it was like I had found some freedom. I'd found an independent space, and I got to see the first crocus or daffodil, bloom for the year, or maybe just seeing that first goldfinch come in. But those things fired me up, and it made me realize that I didn't need to be sitting around and reinventing a life. I needed to be embracing the things I always loved, and so I started kind of pushing my limits and going further and further out on that trail every day until I'm, finding out how far the battery will take me. And I was able to go about 30 miles on a charge. Yeah. And, eventually it's probably 75 miles of accessible trail here on the Olympic Discovery Trail. And, I'd kind of exhausted it all. I'd seen every crack, and I'd seen, every tree along the way, and I was ready, maybe for more. And I reached out to family and said, okay, I'm thinking about crossing the state of Washington in my wheelchair. And so in 2016, that's what we did. We started in Canada, and we made it all the way down to Portland over 10 days. Spectacular, kind of seeing this state that I didn't grow up in from 7 miles per hour, and kind of seeing the Americana, the farm equipment going by me on the roads and highways, or even like the grandmothers waving from their porches, or just a really unique experience. And I got to do it with some really close friends. And after we did that, it gained a lot of media attention. I even got to go speak with the governor about creating more, accessible infrastructure within Washington State. And shortly after that is when I got to start the nonprofit Ian's Ride. And in that way, we could kind of do this kind of advocacy throughout a year, and we could fundraise. And it's been an amazing journey since, and we've done some really fun things. But yeah, I don't want to just ramble on here, Tara. I want you to guide me along here.
Outstanding, Ian. Well, first off, thank you so much for your introduction and giving everyone just the backstory of kind of like how you became the person that we're speaking with today and a little bit about your why. But we're going to like kind of slow this down. We're going to unpack like everything that you just kind of got into. And you mentioned that when you first had your accident, it's because you were on your bike and you had an unfortunate situation. So you were an outdoor person, all, you know, outdoors on your bike. That was a passion of yours to start. Explain some of what that looked like leading up to your incident.
Of course. Yeah. So, you know, my background was biology, my academic background. And so I was spending, you know, every weekend in Big Sur out doing, doing field research or, you know, jumping on with a project with a grad student that is in some other mountain range nearby. And, you know, I loved being outside. It was just kind of my happy place. And I rode my bike everywhere. And I got introduced just 2 years before I was injured to bike touring. So long distance rides on bikes where you can, you know, kind of have your home on your back, your, you know, your panniers and all your gear, and you can just go camp. And I just love that experience and the romanticism of being out on the open road with good friends. I enjoyed going to a brewery afterwards every day. And, you know, there was just a charm to it that really captivated me. And when I broke my neck, I really felt like that was gone. You know, I'd lost those opportunities. But we did find ways to re-experience them in just a slightly different way.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's like you took your setback and you turned it into a comeback. And not only just for yourself, but for the people around you and the people that might find themselves in similar situations that need resources, and they need a person like you to reach out to, and they need to advocate for themselves in their respective areas. So kudos to you for turning that setback into a comeback. And thank you for all of the friends, families, and loved ones that were around you that helped you achieve this dream in this next phase in your life.
I appreciate that, Tara, but I gotta say that, you know, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for those family members and other people in my situation. You know, like I said, I was miserable for years. And sure, that trail was a big reason I kind of came out of my funk. But another one was meeting people who were dealing with paralysis in a really respectful way. I mean, they were happy and they were had relationships and jobs and were really living great lives. And, you know, when I'm seeing these people and they're coming to talk to me and support me, I had to get off my butt and start doing things. And family too. I mean, family, I was such a jerk for so long. I mean, it was such a miserable time, and they stuck with me. And, you know, sure, I've tried to give back as much as I can ever since, but I have to acknowledge how much help I got to get to where I am today.
Absolutely. I mean, none of us really get to where we are without the family and the community around us. And it's very important to recognize that, because I also think that allows other people who are feeling down in the dumps or feeling like they can't achieve anything on their own, it's like they have to accept that love and support that's there. And oftentimes it's there already. They just haven't received it yet. So, yeah, it's a great point to make, the support network that one can have if they allow themselves to. I really want to hit on a point that I know, but I'd like for our listeners to know that when Ian had this accident, he was in fact wearing a helmet, which is something that I always highlight as a safety piece. And you kind of think that helmet is what actually saved your life. So can you speak a little bit about safety while out on the bike and just kind of your thoughts around that?
Yeah, of course. You know, interestingly, when I started going to school at UC Santa Cruz, I got a job at the lab, a plant biology lab. And one of the grad students who was on his way out was selling a bike, and I bought it from him. And was excited, and I was riding to school that first day, and I was not wearing a helmet. And the PI, the boss in the lab, said, "Listen, you are not going to be working for me if you don't care about, you know, safety enough to even wear a helmet." And ever since that, I was okay. Yes, I'll wear it every day. And thank God for that woman, because no, I still have that helmet, and that helmet is cracked. And you know, I was going 38 miles per hour when I crashed, and I stopped pretty much immediately when I hit that tree. And that helmet saved my life. And yeah, whenever I'm out and I see someone without a helmet and they're doing anything risky at all, I definitely speak up, because hey, I'll tell you that it's a real challenge to lose much of your body, but there is nothing like your brain. I mean, that is you, and mm-hmm. you can figure things out without a body, but you know, a brain is irreplaceable.
Yes. Okay. Wow. You said that so eloquently, because it will segue us right into the next space. So we know that Ian is paralyzed from the neck down, but because he was safe and he had his helmet on, he, thank God, has the ability to use his brain, and he used it to create a nonprofit called Ian's Ride. And that's actually how we met, or why we met. I met Ian when we were co-panelists on the annual Rails to Trails meeting this past year in 2022. And I knew of him, I had heard of him, but once I heard him speak, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to have this conversation. We have to share the story with the world, because it really shows that if you can use your mind, there are no limitations. And we all know that this podcast is the Possible Project podcast, and all things are possible. And Ian has made that possible for not only himself, but so many people in this space. So Ian, can you talk to us about Ian's Ride, what your mission is, and the type of things you do today to help others along this journey?
Yeah, of course. Let's just go right into the mission. I mean, what Ian's Ride does, I mean, what our mission is, kind of three-tiered. It's to promote and help provide accessible technology to those with mobility challenges. It's also about support and community. But then finally, it is about outdoor access. But let me break those up a little bit. So as far as the technology aspect goes, I work with Apple. I've worked with Apple for, 6-7 years now, and I got to do some really neat stuff with introducing features that that a hands-free user, it's life-changing. You know, I can use a phone in the same way anyone with fingers can. And to be able to consult with a company that provides me such independence and provides my community with a better life is extremely important, in my opinion. And so, we do a lot of that. The other part was support and community. Paralysis is hard. Paralysis sucks. And none of us, if we're unfortunate enough to get into a situation, we don't want to have to reinvent the wheel on how to do everything. And often, it is so important to just be able to talk with others about, you know, maybe you're trying to figure out a medical thing. Maybe it's a bowel or a bladder or some issue like that. Or maybe you're trying to extend the range of your chair and you want to talk about battery. All of this just takes, you know, tons of knowledge over a lot of time. And I don't want those coming after me to have it any more difficult than I did, because, you know, it was a real challenge to figure out so much of this stuff. And so, yeah, I run about, 3 support groups a month throughout our community, and I get to talk with dozens of individuals every month just individually, and that's, you know, rewarding as heck. And finally, my favorite is the outdoor access stuff, and that's where Tara met me, and we do that in a few different ways. We always consult with maybe city planners or other agencies that are developing parks or anything in the outdoor space that they want to make sure can be used by all. But we also do it by demonstrating what's possible. All right. And so then we do some really cool things like the 2016 ride where we crossed the state of Washington. We did it east to west in 2018, which is 500 miles over the Cascades and through the heat. And then I did another one in 2020 down the Redwood Coast. But the most recent one and where Tara and I paths kind of crossed was doing a ride from D.C. to Columbus, Ohio along the Great American Rail Trail. And so often by just doing something really significant like that, you get media attention and you get fanfare. And I united a couple other nonprofits, United Spinal and the Rails to Trails Conservancy, just to further our voices, to amplify our message. And that's been, I mean, amazingly fun. I can't tell you about the experiences out there, about how cool it is along the CNO trail or the Gap Trail. Those are fantastic. But it's also just being with like-minded people and talking with others out there who are just having an amazing life remembering experience, but no, that's been fantastic. And the final way we really promote the outdoors, or access in the outdoors, is by making events. We do some really neat events so that others can kind of have these experiences I had that are resource intense. You need people. You need people to be there for support. You need financial support, and there's just a lot of back work that you have to do. And so we have our flagship event, which is called Sea to Sound, which covers 75 miles of the Olympic Discovery Trail over 3 days. And it's a chance for people to really go out and push their limits, to go 25 miles a day in a chair and be fully supported. If you run out of batteries, I got the cross-country team out there ready to push, to push you off the course, or a fleet of accessible minivans to take you to the next rest area or to your car. But just creating those opportunities for people seem to be really rewarding, and the feedback we get has been phenomenal. And I'm rambling.
No, I love it when you ramble, and I'm sitting here with this super goofy smile on my face because it just makes my heart happy to hear you speak about not only what you're able to do and what you've grown to be able to achieve, but the ability to share that with the rest of the world and your community, I think is phenomenal. How long and how many days was your trip from DC to Columbus, Ohio?
Ooh, okay. I think it was supposed to be 14 days of riding, but I also realized that I didn't plan a single rest day in there for my team. And so I think it ended up being 13 days because by day about 8 or 9, and we had Hurricane Ian chasing us. North. it was a good day to take one day of rest. So it was 13 days. I think it was ended about 470 miles or so.
Oh wow! That is just so amazing. Congratulations on that achievement, and thankfully you were able to get the additional sponsors and media attention to bring focus to this very necessary space.
You yourself know how amazing the Great American Rail Trail is, and just to demonstrate that, wheelchair user groups, right? The individuals with mobility impairments can also really appreciate this infrastructure, and for me to be able to show my peers and my community that it's possible and the beauty that's out there. I really hope that some others will, take me up on the adventure I just did.
Oh man, that sounds amazing. I'm interested in taking you up on that adventure in some sort of way and being a part of that. It just sounds absolutely beautiful. Talk us through, say, the day in the life of someone in with mobility issues, maybe in a wheelchair, that are looking to go on a tour. Just kind of describe, say, one of the days of your trip, waking up until the end. Like, what does that look like?
Ooh. Well, I can say it fast and make it sound really easy and simple, but the truth is there are so many challenges, and it's having this team that works like clockwork. That has really been our success. But let's say, we start. I'm going to start at the night. Okay, so I need a caregiver. I sleep on a ventilator, and I've got my two cyclists along with me. When I fly to DC. All right, we gotta set the scene a little better.
Yeah, here. Let's set it.
All right. So we fly to DC. I get two cyclists that are going to be with me for every inch of the way on their bikes, and they'll be able to support me and help me when I'm out on the trail. But during the night, I also need additional support, and so I always have usually at least two caregivers. This last time I was able to bring my mom and an additional caregiver. So, they are kind of taking turns because once I get transferred into bed, we don't have a lift. And so I utilize the muscle of my team to toss me into bed. There's a bunch of like range of motion that then needs to be done. And hopefully I can then put the ventilator on and fall asleep. There is all sorts of challenges through the night, right? I get respiratory issues. We may need to use suction or a cough assist machine just so that my airway is clear. I have spasticity. So, the body wants to move. And when you can't intentionally move anything below your neck, the body just wants to bounce around. And so sometimes sleeping, it's like you're on a rocking ship. And so maybe turning or getting manipulated in some way might help you sleep a little longer. But often the sleep segments are short and few and far between. And then I finally do. There's probably a 2.5 hour routine before I wake up of them having hands on my body, doing just bed baths or hygienic care. Whatever, all that's got to be done, and I sometimes am trying to sleep while they're manipulating my body. It's not easy at all. But then you finally do wake up. I sleep with earplugs and an eye mask. I'm in like this complete sensory deprivation. I can't feel, see. I'm on a ventilator, so I can't smell. Then I do wake up. Still another hour, just getting me set up in this chair, getting me all dressed up for the cold day ahead, and then we drive to wherever we ended the day before, and we start. And I hope to have gotten 4 hours of sleep, if that. And it's hard. I mean, it's really hard, but it's just that the rewards have to outweigh the difficulty, and in my opinion, they do. I couldn't do. I couldn't have these amazing memories and experiences with close friends, if I wasn't willing to deal with the hardships of the night.
Hey guys, so you know that this show is all about spreading love and positive energy, making things possible, right? The Project Athena Foundation is doing just that. The Project Athena Foundation is a nonprofit whose dedicated mission is to help men and women who've experienced medical or traumatic setbacks in their lives the opportunity to find adventure again, to turn those setbacks into comebacks. I've personally experienced the love from the Project Athena Foundation, and now I am fundraising so that a future survivor can go on a 3-day, 50-mile ultra hike in Sedona, Arizona. Do me a favor and click the link in the show notes to make a tax-deductible donation of any kind. Let's make this happen together. Now back to the show.
And it's just, kind of the fact I try to keep hidden is that, for 12 hours of the day, I am active, productive, and on the go. But then there's another 12 hours of the day when I am having caregivers around me, and they are manipulating my body, or they're showering me or feeding me. Like I said, I can say it fast and make quadriplegia sound good, but it's not easy.
Wow. You just shared a whole lot, and I'm thankful that you took your time to really explain not only the glorified portion of it, but the struggle of it as well. You mentioned one thing, and as you were speaking, I was like, okay, wow, that's a lot to handle. But then dollar signs are going off in my head. I'm like, that is a lot of support that you need. I mean, from the two cyclists that are on the trail to the caregivers, one you mentioned was your mom, and then another caregiver. But let's talk about someone outside of your situation who is in a chair. They don't have access to all of these things that you mentioned. Like, how do they even approach trying to get to the level of doing something like this? Are there additional resources that they could reach out to? Or, like, just kind of help me, like, if I were in a chair and I said, Ian, you know what? I want to do what you're doing. Like, how would you guide me?
Well, first of all, it can't all be done at once, right? It's got to be baby steps. And I think the very, two things. The best advice that I ever got when I was actually still in rehab was from a respiratory therapist. And he told me, Ian, you know, your success is going to depend on the help of others. You are going to need the help of others for the rest of your life to live a positive, constructive life. And the best advice I can give you, he said, is don't be an asshole. That's what it was, right? Don't be a jerk, basically, because you want those relationships to stay solid. And maybe it's a caregiver that you're having trouble with, and they might not be with you for too long. Don't sacrifice that relationship. You still love on them, because who knows when they may need to come back into your life. And the same thing with every other relationship that you come across. Think of those as building blocks, to a pathway for help. And if you are motivated to do to do really, really fun stuff and important stuff for a community, people are quick to jump on. But that leads to really the second one, which was so hard for me to allow myself to do, and that was be willing to ask for help. I think so many of us are taught from a young age to be independent, to figure stuff out, and we're our own person and go out there and conquer the world. Great, but recognize that none of us are an island, and it's okay to ask for help. And it took me a long time, but I believe my life is better because I am willing to ask others to help out when need be. But ultimately, how do you do something like this? you do one day first, right? You say, okay, I want to go and do one day adventure, and you make it happen and say, okay, how would I make it into 2 days? What kind of resources will I need? Then you start saying, hey, this is more than just me. This is advocacy, and perhaps I could reach out for some support in other ways financially. And you just kind of have to build your way into it. I certainly, sitting in those rehab hospital rooms, counting the dots on the ceiling, never thought that I would be traversing the Great American Rail Trail in a chair with two of my closest buddies.
Wow. Well, you heard it here, folks. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and take one day at a time, one adventure at a time, and work your way up to more and more amazing things. I mean, everything that Ian has described here, I mean, the trips, the 14 days here, going 470 miles, that all sounds absolutely amazing. But like he said, he didn't start there. He started on a trail doing maximizing 30 miles first. And then
1 mile,
right? 1 mile. And then that led you to finishing the 30-mile trail, and then on to the next and on to the next. So it doesn't happen overnight, but I love the fact that that hope has been laid out of what is possible, and it can very well be possible for you if you're thinking about doing something like this. So thank you for that. Now, you mentioned that one of the things you mentioned to me is that your dream vacation is a cross country ride. I have to imagine that a person with your mindset and your fortitude and tenacity, that you have already been thinking about that, and in some way you have it laid out somehow of what that might look like. Tell us what that looks like for you, and where is it in your timeline?
Oh, geez. Now you're going to get me in trouble.
Here we go. I love it, because once you say it, man, it's going to happen.
So there is no timeline. My girlfriend would kill me if I told her we were going to go across the country anytime soon. Sometimes it's good to just stay back and enjoy the family and loved ones. But really, what's really fired me up, or one of the things, is I managed on this past summer solstice to get a Guinness World Record. I got the furthest distance traveled in 24 hours in a power wheelchair. Went about 184 miles is how far I went. It was a long way. But I was looking at other records recently, and there is a record for a power wheelchair, the fastest distance to cross the U.S. from coast to coast. And it's a long time. It's like over 4 months, and I'm pretty sure I could do it in three.
Hey!
But I also have one of my best friends that was riding along with me on the Great American Rail Trail, who's starting this May, and we're riding across, and I'll finish the last probably 100 miles with him or so. But I'm going to let him do it first, and then he can tell me his thoughts and whether or not we're going to tackle it anytime soon. But yeah, it's a lot of time to set aside. And oh, the beauty, though, Tara. God, can you imagine all the people you see? I think about your big ride just from Wisconsin to D.C. and all the amazing sights, and just how many, and oh, the weather challenges and everything. But the people would be so great.
The people. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you keep bringing this up, so I want to give a shout out really quick to the American Rail Trail. I've had the great pleasure of working with Kevin Belanger, who was the person who invited me to be on this panel, how I got to meet you. But the work that they're doing is really making this possible for people like Ian and myself to get out and enjoy the beauty by bike or by chair on these rail trails, and they're working on a project to connect a coast-to-coast rail trail. And so as we follow that timeline and as we follow the progress of that, I think that, something like, Ian's cross-country ride by chair could be even more possible and could help him break that record. So I want to say shout out to Rails to Trails for all the great work that they're doing. And, I look forward to following your journey, however it comes, whenever it comes, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah. One of these days, I promise they'll continue to be fun things on the horizon.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, the next step of, this segment, and that is how we can engage the communities around us to help support an effort like this. So let's talk about what folks in your community do to support Ian's ride, and maybe that'll just kind of translate and trickle on to other communities and other organizations.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think putting these events on, so last year we had over 100 participants for the 3 days, and over a third of them, had mobility impairments, where we're in a chair or mobility device of some kind. And first, the community loves to rally around that, because it's just one more way to unite a community. So in Washington State, there is a lot of indigenous folks. And so the tribe here, the Sklallam tribe, has been super generous, and they've supported us year after year. This year, we're actually having our logo being done by a tribal artist, so we're excited about that. But bringing organizations like that into your nonprofit as maybe a board member, as a supporter, however, that is going to really help. One thing that we've done that has really been a game changer is, every year, or for the last 2 years, we've had Invacare, our platinum sponsor, our wheelchair manufacturer. They provided us with 3 loaner chairs that we were able to put some local dignitaries in to come out and ride with us for the day. And when you have a policymaker out there in a chair and they're experiencing the infrastructure in the same way that these participants are, then you're amplifying voices in a whole new way, because now you're having policymakers, you're having policymakers, then use their voting power to help create and put dollars to the infrastructure that is so valuable to you and your community. And so that's been really important. So any way to kind of create a community event, bring the community together, and then have it highlighted, sure, by media, sure, by bringing these signatories along. I have a photographer, videographer out there so that we can get cool little films after to share with the world. But ultimately, you just try to unite the community. Again, like talking to the high schools, maybe getting the cross-country team out to help push some chairs, or talk to a local Boy Scout troop and see if they're willing to come help. But be creative. Find ways to connect with other groups and other maybe like-minded individuals. And mainly, if you're doing something you're passionate about and the participants are really happy, the community is going to love to support it.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you can be involved with the success in someone else's life, or enhance that smile, enhance that opportunity, I think that that's a very worthy cause. And I'm so happy to hear that so many people are coming out to support your events in that way. You kind of spoke about your platinum sponsor for that provides the chairs. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, about your chair, the brand of it, if you could say it again, and just a little bit about some of the functions that it has that allows you to do what you do.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm in an Invacare TDX SP2 is the name of my chair. And I do a lot of consulting with wheelchair manufacturers, because we really need chairs to be designed for lifestyles and not just for Medicare approval. And any chance I have to further that, I jump on it. But one of the big disadvantages of the chair I'm in is you get it shipped from the factory. It arrives at your home. It's got brand new batteries, and you go out there and you've got a max range of maybe 16 miles. That's as far as you can go on in the chair before you're out of juice. And my chair almost goes about 8 miles per hour. So in less than 2 hours, I'm done for the day. And to me, that just wasn't acceptable. I couldn't handle that. And so in previous chairs, I'd done some creative battery work by like mounting a battery tray on the back of the chair to include an additional battery on the chair, which would double my range. At 30 miles I said I was getting, I was then getting 60, right? And so that was really great. But then I got this new chair. This is the one I got the Guinness World Record in, and the one I did the Great American Rail Trail in. And in 2020, I was doing a really cool ride down the Redwood Coast in California. And one of the people that was following the story was a man named Zane Kenny. And his wife is in a wheelchair, but he is an engineer for Boeing. And he said, Ian, I think I could, with the battery box that you have, we could make a lithium battery that would extend your range to close to 80 miles. And I was like, whoa, okay, I want to talk to this guy. And, yeah. And so that relationship developed, and he is awesome. Actually talked to him just before our call. And he helped, and it was a pricey endeavor, but we were able to put together a couple battery packs that, yeah, could get me almost 100 miles out there compared to the 16 that comes from the factory. And it is frustrating that me and a Boeing engineer are able to create this when the wheelchair companies aren't, providing something like this to their customers. So I've done that. I have a high-speed motor package that is available to anyone if they wanted it. The chair elevates, it reclines, feet up, tilts, and all that. But I put, I think, 5,000 miles on my chair in 2022. I haven't missed a day out on the trail, getting at least a mile in over 6 years now, in a long time. And so, you know, it's 100% uptime, and you know, the chair is able to, get me where I want to go. Like I said, I went 5,000 miles. That's averaging over 14 miles a day.
Wow, way to go. Good for you, man. That is like amazing.
Well, the hard part is doing it in a northern latitude, such as Wisconsin or northern Washington, right? We have snow and we have rain and we have a lot of weather. And yeah, a lot of times I'm out there miserable in the snow and rain thinking, what am I doing? I just got to get this mile and get back home. But I always feel better.
That is amazing. I mean, you bring up a great point, too, for all y'all listeners out there who don't get out and plow your sidewalks, like, go do that. I remember the other day there was an elderly man in, it was one of those, like, scooters, almost like you, like, the, it was a mobile chair, but you see them at grocery stores and things like that. Mobility scooter. He had one of those, and the sidewalks weren't plowed, and so he was in the road now. And he was going up a hill, and I was afraid because when I came down the hill, I saw him facing traffic, but I couldn't see him until I got over. And I was like, oh, man, when he gets near the top, that's not going to be good. And so all I could do was I did a turnaround. I went back to the top of the hill and I put my flashers on because I was like, oh, I just hope that, you know, no one hits him. So there are all of those things, the conditions, the weather conditions, and then the community that's responsible for clearing their portion of whatever segment. It becomes very important for someone like you out on those trails or sidewalks.
It does. But I also... I just consider myself a vehicle. When the snow comes and I'm out there where the roads are plowed, I've got flashers and headlights and taillights on my chair. I'm very visible out there if I need to be. But yeah, I would much prefer to be out on the isolated trail than the roadways.
Well, hey, we are starting to kind of bring this episode to a close. It's been absolutely phenomenal having this conversation and learning more about you and what you do and how things are becoming more accessible because of the great work that folks like you are doing to share this beauty of being out in nature with others. Can you tell the folks where they can find you and how they can support you?
Sure. Well, you know, one great way to support me is just get out there. Well, you go out and spend some time outside, go for a walk, go spend some time in your garden, soak it up, because all of our lives are richer when we get to spend some time outside. As far as our organization, we're at iansride.com. You can find us there. That's where we blog every day of our big rides, and so you can read over those. We got some great videos from some of the events that we've had over the years, and a lot of great pictures. Oh, and you know, of course, the Guinness World Record. I was featured in Sports Illustrated in October, which was pretty awesome. So yeah, iansride.com. There's some cool stuff there. And then, of course, we're on really all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and just search Ian's Ride on each one of those and you'll find us.
Outstanding. And folks, as you know, I will put all of this information in the show notes. All you have to do is click on it. You'll easily be able to find Ian. Before I give you the last word, Ian, I want to hit on something that we both have a likeness to, and that is locks. Okay, so I have my locks, and Ian has these beautiful locks that are like I can't even see, but they've got to be down to his knees or something almost.
They're 6.5 feet now. They're 20 years old this year.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to make sure that at least one of the photos that we put up for your podcast is going to have those locks in it because I think that's super cool. So, Ian, I like to close my show with you having the last word and sharing anything that you would like to share with our listeners about how they can move forward with an attitude of gratitude and take advantage of what they have.
All right. So I've hit on some of these already. But I'm gonna say them again. I've lived a really full and rich life since I broke my neck 14 years ago, and there was a few reasons that it's been successful. One of those is because I love being outside. I mean, I really get a ton from the fresh air and the smells and the nature and the trail community. I mean, those things are why I get up in the morning. And please, go out and enjoy it. It's gonna make you feel better. But another thing is, and I've touched on this, and so Tara repeated it, but it's okay to ask for help. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're doing, go out there, do what you want to do, and just ask. Give yourself every opportunity you can, and bring the people in your life together to try to make big things happen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Possible Project Podcast. Check out the show notes to access guest details, support links, and subscribe to be notified of our weekly episodes coming to you every Wednesday. If you know of an amazing individual whose light is shining bright, I want to hear from you. Shoot me an email at thepossibleprojectpodcast@gmail.com. That's it, folks. This is T-Gun signing off. Remember, let your faith be bigger than your fears, because all things are possible through Christ.